You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio broadcast right now. 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to be a part of the show. 844-326-3663. 3663 is the number to call the show. It is the number to text the show. Shoot us a text. Shoot us a call. 844-326-3663. We will get them on the air. You can shoot us a tweet at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, if you want to come at us in that direction. For the few of you that have used the Ray Memorial Hotline, it is still down. I do not know why. I did put in a request on Friday for it to be looked at. I have not gotten a status update. As soon as I do, I'll let you know. Because
wait, did you put in a ticket? Because they take those very seriously.
They do take those very seriously.
You get like 10,000 replies if you don't reply back and say it's been resolved.
That is also very true. So I'm a little interested that I've not gotten a response yet. But we're working on the Ray Memorial Hotline. But 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the show, to call in or to shoot us a text message this AM as we roll into the second hour of the broadcast. With that being said, it is 7:02 in the AM. You have less than 58 minutes until you got to get to the office and pretend like you want to work. You don't. You want to talk sports. It's Big Game TM week. We got NASCAR rolling last night. Baseball hot stove is still a hot stoven out there with a couple more moves being made over the weekend. It's NBA trade deadline tomorrow. We got big moves taking place around the Association so far this morning. We got a lot to get to, and that is why in the 7 o'clock segment every morning we do this. It is an interesting time to be in our industry because obviously the focus this week is, and we'll be spending quite a bit of time this morning on the Big Game TM. Then obviously we start rolling into other sports. Spring training starting up. NASCAR's just around the corner. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Lonzo, you've been in this game a hot minute. You know how it works. Football's almost over. The good news is the Rob Brown Show covers everything. We talk all the things on the show. And today is going to be no different. So let us dive right in with item number one. Again, the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. Saturday, I technically should say Sunday at 12:12 a.m., the Shams bomb dropped that Luka Doncic, the face of the Dallas Mavericks, is the face of the Dallas Mavericks. No mas. He is on his way to Los Angeles, California. in return for Anthony Davis and a future first rounder. There were some other players that were involved in those moves, but that was just basically to offset some numbers and some salaries here and there on the books. Was not the last trade of an all-star that we have to get to, because the Sacramento Kings are finalizing a trade that will send all-star De'Aaron Fox to the San Antonio Spurs. They will acquire Chicago Bulls guard Zach LaVine as part of a three-team trade involving multiple players and draft picks. Shams dropped that one yesterday. As well, the moves give San Antonio an all-star guard to pair up with young phenom Victor Wembanyama after Fox, who has one more year left on his deal after the season, had not shown a willingness to commit long-term to Sacramento. Because of that, the Kings opened up trade talks. He did make it known, did De'Aaron Fox, that San Antonio was his preferred destination, and San Antonio was willing to put the assets on the table to make it worth it. The Kings received LaVine in the midst of a career season at age 29. Sidney Sissoko, the three first-round picks and three second-round picks, are on their way to Sacramento. The Bulls regained their 2025 first-round pick from San Antonio and three players. Zach Collins, Trey Jones, and both from the Spurs. Sacramento's Kevin Huerter is on his way to Chi-Town as well. The Spurs will also receive Jordan McLaughlin, who is averaging 2 points in 28 games for the Kings this year. Spurs made the deal for Fox happen without giving much of their stash of draft picks or the keys to their young core. They have Stephon Castle. They have Keldon Johnson, obviously Victor Wembanyama. They held on to Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes, both in their first season with San Antonio. Both very much established and experienced locker room leaders. I actually love this move for the Spurs. I think the Spurs go from a team sitting 12th out of 15 in the West to a team that could very well skyrocket up the Western Conference standings and potentially sneak in as a wild card team down the stretch. And I suspect these will not be the last moves that we see made. In fact, I am even willing to go so far as to say I do not think the Lakers are done. The Lakers were already in the hunt to go find a true five, because while I do like the young Jackson Hayes, the guy ain't ready to be the five for the Lakers yet. So I think we're going to see a few more teams make a few more moves for a few more big names in the association before the deadline tomorrow afternoon. Let's get to item number two. Just a couple of weeks after winning the 2024-2025 College Football National Championship, Ryan Day's got to be on the recruiting trail again. But it's not for players. It's for every position on his coaching staff. Yesterday, Chip Kelly announced that he was leaving Ohio State. He is on his way to Las Vegas to become the new offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders under new head coach Pete Carroll. The 61-year-old spent the past 7 years in college football, including last season, his only season as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for Ohio State. They averaged almost 36 points, went 14-2, including a 34-23 defeat of Notre Dame in the national championship game. Previously, Kelly was the head coach at UCLA for 6 seasons, where he was 35-34 with the Bruins. Last coached in the NFL back in 2016. He was the San Francisco 49ers head coach for 1 season. The Niners went 2-14 under Chip Kelly, who had a bit of a career renaissance when he got to Ohio State, proving that, you know, some guys just ain't made to be HCs. Some guys are made to be OCs. And Chip Kelly, one of those cats on his way to Las Vegas, which means now Ryan Day has lost both his offensive and defensive coordinators, as his defensive coordinator now on his way to Penn State to replace
also
Tom Allen.
The offensive line coach left, and some other coaches are leaving too.
Technically now your quarterback's coach is left.
Yeah, so I just you usually see this sort of thing happening when a team did poorly and the coach needs to cover his butt by getting rid of all of his assistant coaches.
Yep, happened to Florida State this year. They're in the same boat. They got to refill the OC, the DC.
It's kind of weird. It almost like maybe Ryan Day's a bad guy or something. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Or if you look, I think all these guys got paid a lot more money to go to all these places.
There it is. Your former defensive coordinator now at Penn State got paid over $3.2 million. It's the highest deal that we are aware of for a coordinator in college football. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that's a Ryan Day's a bad guy. I think that's you're paying me how much now? We are. Right? Like, I'll tell you, I've said this before. I can't stand the Atlanta Falcons, but if old Arthur Blank calls me tomorrow and puts seven figures on a paycheck for Rob Brown to come be the voice of the Falcons, rise up, baby. All right? My loyalty cannot be bought, but it can be rented without a doubt. So we'll see what this means. I think when it comes down to it, this is just the result of when you win, the guys that got you there are in the limelight. And the reality is, as we have seen for a lot of coordinators in years gone by, if you do not strike while the iron is hot and Ohio State comes out next year and goes 8-4 and misses the playoffs and all that, $3.2 million paychecks aren't coming down the pipe for the coordinator of an 8-4 team. They will for a natty. So I don't think this is so much things are falling apart in Columbus or Ryan Day's hard to work for or whatever. I think it's simply a matter of the Raiders and the Nittany Lions put a whole hell of a lot of zeros on a paycheck, and it's hard to say no to that.
I will say, if you're Jim Knowles, you better win against Ohio State.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's what they brought you there to do.
3.2 milli to move over to We Are Penn State. I'm sure Chip Kelly's contract with the Raiders is probably going to turn out to be about the same amount. So we'll see how that plays out. Chip Kelly leaving, and now Ryan Day's got to replace both his OC, his DC, and about half of the coaching positions on his roster before he runs it back in a natty defense
next year. You know why Chip left, right? Because Ryan Day took over to play calling, and he was mad. That's why he left.
I want you to know, I still don't believe it. I think he got involved. I don't think he took over. I think Chip Kelly
left. They were boys. I mean, one coached the other, and then they were got. I mean, suddenly money is the – yeah, I'm just saying.
Chip Kelly took a massive pay cut to leave as the HC of a school to go be the OC of another school. I just think Chip Kelly got tired of being a head coach.
He said that, but it was also his friend that he went to coach with, and then he just left his friend. I can't wait for the day for you to have to say, Lonzo, you were right.
I mean, sure, but I would also point out that you don't have anything other than feelings on that. I think Chip Kelly just got paid a lot of money by Pete Carroll, who's also his boy, by the way.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that could be completely wrong, and we may never know, but I do believe I'm right on this.
All right, let's get to item number three. As football season comes to its close on Sunday, and as this show is not a football talk show, it is a sports talk show that talks all of the sports. While we will have our attention all week long on the Big Game TM, we also start to turn our attention to other sports. I've got two things wrapped up. Nice, neat little package inside of item number three. We start out at Pebble Beach, California, where the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, one of the early events on the PGA Tour calendar, showed up. Rory McIlroy showed up in this one. How about a run to a 6-under-66 on Sunday and a two-shot victory at what Rory called one of, quote, the cathedrals of golf. McIlroy was aces yesterday. Two key birdies when he made the turn against a pack of contenders. In fact, at one point on Sunday, six different players either had the lead of or a share of the lead in this tournament. But McIlroy down the stretch was playing immaculate golf. And when they got to the 14th, was a 571-yard par 5. That's 30 yards shy of six football fields was this par 5, including a couple of treacherous spots. What did Rory McIlroy do? NPD, big drive, get on in two, eagle take the lead. He was playing with Sepp Straka in this hole. Sepp, when asked about Rory's blast that set him up again on a 571-yard par 5, Rory McIlroy hit a drive so deep, His second shot was a 7-iron. If you're not a golf guy, I don't know how to explain to you what that means. A 571 yard. If the dude blasted this thing 325, he's still looking, for most PGA players, you're still looking at like a 4-iron to get it up there. He went 7-iron. Stryker said afterwards, second shot, we both hit a 7 there. His was a 7-iron. Mine was a 7-wood. Like, it was an unbelievable drive that Rory at that point showed, yeah, I'm here. I'm good. On a day when six players had at least a share of the lead, McIlroy took the top spot with a 6-iron out of the bunker to 18 feet for birdie on 10. He hit a 7-iron to 8 feet for birdie on 12 to stretch his lead to 2. And then on the 14th, when he went absolutely bananas to get his hand on the Crystal Trophy, Rory just looked good. Amongst players still actively playing, only two players have won more tournaments than Rory, and that is Tiger Woods with 82 wins and lefty Phil Mickelson with 45. Mickelson also was 35 when he got his 27th tour title, as Tiger was, so that is kind of interesting. Also, active win streak. This is consecutive seasons with at least one win. Dustin Johnson is tied with Tiger Woods for the longest stretch of years with at least one win. He has a 14-year streak. That streak is not active. Phil Mickelson has a 10-year streak with at least one win. That is no longer active. Rory McIlroy is now third with an 8-year streak with at least one win, and that streak is active. As of right now, it is the longest active streak on tour. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, and Paul Azinger all have 7-year streaks with at least one win. None of those active right now. And then the second half of item number two is, of course, the clash last night. Bubba Gray out in Raleigh, North Carolina, was the host for NASCAR's exhibition to start the season. And Chase Elliott, I don't know if you've heard this before, he's NASCAR's most popular driver. I'm so tired of that. I honestly don't believe it. Like, I like Chase Elliott, but I honestly don't believe he's NASCAR's most popular
driver. Do you? Because you don't sound like you like him.
I mean, I like him a lot, but
he just did that thing where you don't really like someone, but you're, yeah, okay.
No, I like him a lot. It's kind of one of those things where it's less about him.
Is he being billed as NASCAR?
Yes, and not only are they billed. Yeah, do you remember the year when Tebow led the Gators to the national championship and Riley Cooper was on that team? Do you remember how every time Riley Cooper did anything, Gary Daniels would go, and you know, he's Tim Tebow's roommate. Like, they said it every time Riley Cooper was on TV. You know, he's Tim Tebow's roommate. It's that. Every time Chase Elliott is on camera, somebody goes, and there's NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott. It's like, I don't need you to tell me every time I see him. It's every time. He'll be in 17th place. Moves up to 16th. They put a camera on the pass, and they're like, and here comes NASCAR's most popular driver. I get it. Stop.
You mean the Chris Collinsworth method?
Yes. Every time he's on camera. All right, let's go down for the national anthem. Oh, say, can... Oh, there's NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott. Like, they will interrupt stuff to make sure they point out, of course he is, because you show him every 8 seconds and you call him NASCAR's most popular driver every time.
But why do you start to not like him because of that, when it's not, he's not doing it?
No, I don't dislike him. He's not doing anything wrong, and the kid of Awesome Bill from Dawsonville is never getting hate from Rob Brown. I don't need you to remind me every 7 seconds, NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott. However, NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott, did win the Clash last night at Bowman Gray Coliseum in Winston-Salem. The last time they raced there, 1971, a quarter-mile track. It was absolute chaos. He won it for the first time in his career, joined his father, Bill, Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, as winners of the unofficial season opener. Bill Elliott won the Clash in 87. He turned around and won the Daytona 500 1 week later. Obviously, it'll be 2 weeks until this year's 500, but Chase Elliott will have an opportunity to repeat that history of his daddy. He said, excited to get to Daytona. It's a great way to start the season. I know it's not a points race, but it's nice to win for sure. Just really proud of our team for just continuing to keep their heads down. He was able to hold off a couple of contenders late, including Denny Hamlin, who finished third, and a challenge from Ryan Blaney, who finished second in this race. You did have a... I don't know, man. Like, it was fun. I stayed up till like 11:45 last night watching this race. That's why Alonzo had to correct so many typos in my sports flash. Because I went, NASCAR's back, baby! Fire him up! Let's go! Boogity, boogity, boogity. All right. Congrats to Chase Elliott. NASCAR's most popular driver. I don't know if you've heard that before. Also, Riley Cooper was Tim Tebow's roommate. Don't know if you heard that either. Don't know if you heard that music playing. That means we got to go to break back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It is big game TM week here on the show. Well, I mean, I guess across all of America, but you know, here on the show. Talking Super Bowl licks down in the Crescent City, the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana, the Chiefs, the Eagles, for all of the proverbial marbles. Zo. To me, as we're going to spend quite a bit of time breaking this game down from every angle between here and Friday when we cut you loose for Big Game Weekend, to me, this game really isn't all that complicated to break down. Chiefs stop Saquon Barkley, they win, right? Like, and by stop, this is the interesting thing. If by stop, I mean if he scores a tutty, he's going to score a tutty. He's Saquon Barkley. I mean, if you can keep Saquon from carrying the Philadelphia Eagles, you win this game. If you can make this a game that comes down to Patrick Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts, who can be the better quarterback, you win this game. If this is a game where Saquon Barkley is able to get a full head of steam and start building momentum, and carrying this team literally on his back, that's where I think the Eagles pull the upset. Now, the interesting thing is, I could say that's true about every team that they have played so far in these playoffs. I could say that was true about every team they played in the regular season, and very few teams were able to put a dent into the production of Saquon Barkley, but... And this is what I think a lot of people are missing out on. The Kansas City Chiefs, everybody talks about Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, and that's good because they're great players, for sure. But the interesting thing here is the Chiefs have been carried by their defense. I saw a social media take on Saturday that I kind of laughed at. There was a guy who said, you know, I want to address the hate that has been directed at the Kansas City Chiefs this year. He said, I know what the reason is for it. And we can dress it up as they get calls. We can dress it up as Mahomes is a whiner. We can dress it up 50 different ways. But there's a reason for it. And I actually really agreed with this take. He said, why has the mentality shifted about the Chiefs? Because the Chiefs have been dominant for like a while now. Like the last 5 years, they've been the dominant team in the NFL. And for the first few years of that run, the Chiefs were kind of celebrated by the NFL at large. And he said the reason why was because when the Chiefs won, they dominated and they were wildly entertaining because they just whipped everybody. They were putting up 40 burgers routinely. They were just marching up and down the field. And even if it was your team that they were working, they were explosive. And this year they're not. They don't cover spreads this year. They're winning games. They're winning games, but they're winning games by blocked field goals and doinks and last play turnovers, et cetera, et cetera. And this cat said, I wish I could remember who it was to give him credit, but I saw it late at night and I was going to sleep, so I didn't save it. But this cat said the reason the Chiefs had the mentality, the attitude of the nation turn against them is because if you are going to go win 14, 15 games, if you're going to win back-to-back Super Bowls and potentially back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, people want to be entertained. And the reality is we're entertained by offense. We're entertained by touchdowns. We're entertained by big explosive plays. And the Chiefs don't do that this year. That's not to say there haven't been any. But the Chiefs aren't beating you by being a wildly explosive offense. The Chiefs are beating you by preventing anybody else from doing that. They're beating you with Chris Jones. They're beating you with guys being removed from the run game, forcing other quarterbacks to get into a battle with Patrick Mahomes. They're beating you by just letting you screw up and take advantage of it. That's it. That's all. They're not explosive like they used to be. And when America has, for the last handful of years, I don't know, 10, 12, whatever, gotten to be a country that just loves a tutty and hates solid defenses, this is a Chiefs team, and this is part of the reason I like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl over the Eagles. This is a team that bogs games down with a great defense, and it doesn't look like big explosive games on TV. That's why the Chiefs defense v. Saquon is this football game.
One of the favorite things that I heard over the weekend, and I don't necessarily believe it, but this person said that the Chiefs treated the regular season like the preseason.
I think it's fair.
Trying stuff because they held some stuff back for the playoffs that other teams had not seen. And of course they do that.
The Chiefs felt to me, I think I said it last week. I know I said it on Saturday. I know I said it on Sunday. I hosted Sunday morning for 3 hours too. The Chiefs felt to
me, man, take a break.
Yeah, today's day 10, because I did that last weekend too. So I'm going on day 20 that I've done a show every day. Grind, baby. Daddy's trying to get rich. The Chiefs feel like a team that came into this year, and I think maybe some people feel the same way and they chalk it up as arrogance, even though the Chiefs were right. I feel like the Chiefs came into this year, great one, acting as if, and correctly, by the way, acting as if the playoffs were a guarantee this year. We're going to the playoffs. Are we the one seed? Are we a wild card? Are we a divisional winner but not the one seed? I don't know. We'll find out. But we're going to the playoffs. And therefore, there was never a period of doubt for the Chiefs. And when I say doubt, I don't just mean in terms of will they make the playoffs. I mean like will they be a powerhouse. There was never a point where we doubted the Chiefs. There was no drama to this season for the Chiefs, especially when we got 6-7 weeks into the season. And, you know, I remember, was it the first Denver game that you guys won by a doink, right? When I came on that next day and I went, guys, even the doinks go their way. You understand? Like, you can't script losing via doink. You can't script that. When the doinks go your way, you're a great team. That you take advantage of those opportunities. And so it felt like no drama around the Chiefs. There was never a spot where even when they were in one score games, as Lonzo has pointed out, if the Chiefs have you in a one-score game in the fourth quarter, they win. That's just what they do. What is it, Mahomes is in the last 2 years? Mahomes is like some ridiculous number and oh in games where the Chiefs are down with the ball in the fourth quarter. They just don't lose. So there's been no drama. And because of that, Kansas City has been largely kind of reserved.
You said there's been no drama. There's been no drama for the team. There's been drama about the team.
Sure. I mean, there's drama with the referee conspiracy. There was drama with Harrison Butker. There was drama with Mahomes. Like, there's drama from the standpoint of external. But if the Chiefs are in a one-score game late in the fourth quarter, like, hadn't it gotten to the point where we all gave up tuning in to see if the Chiefs lose? No, they're not losing. Mahomes in the last 2 years is, like, literally undefeated when it comes to fourth quarter drives to win the game. Somebody deep dove these stats the other day. I think was it Dan Patrick, I think? Tom Brady, Lonzo, on game-winning drives. Tom Brady was 6-5 in game-winning drives. I think it was against playoff teams. I don't remember the exact stat. But effectively, in the whatever the category Dan Patrick was using there, to quantify the type of drives that Mahomes been going off, Breeze was winning at a 50% clip. Brady at a 46% clip. Manning at like a 48% clip. In the same thing that Mahomes in the last 3 years has been undefeated with. They don't lose. And it kind of sucks the drama out. And so you end up in this spot where, and I do think, just so we are clear, I absolutely do think Mahomes gets calls. I also think Mahomes gets calls that other players don't get, but other players aren't Patrick Mahomes. And I think Mahomes gamesmanships into those calls. I don't blame him for that. I don't fault him for that. That's how the game gets played. Troy Aikman can get as mad as he wants. If you want to get mad at the NFL for allowing these calls to take place in a way that Mahomes can take advantage of them. But the reality of the situation is, whether it's exclusively because of that or not, and it's not, the reality is you are watching one of the most dominant franchises of all time. Even if you believe they're getting calls, they've earned those superstar calls by way of Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes. But this year, There's no big play explosive offense, and the reason why is they haven't needed it, which leads me to another theory. I'm tempted to bet the over in this game, Lonzo, because I think the Chiefs offense is going to go deep in the bag. I, with the exception of the Buffalo game, which even that, you're watching it and you're like, fourth quarter, one score game, something's going to happen for the Chiefs, and it did. They play great defense. Steve Spagnuolo, MVP of that game, in my opinion. I wonder how much the Chiefs break out this weekend.
Have we heard any more about Sky Moore? I haven't seen anything else.
I haven't seen anything, but at the same time, they haven't really been. I mean, it's been primarily closed-door practices. The Chiefs, I think, just got to New Orleans yesterday. So if we're going to see reports on Sky Moore, it's going to be this week. But you had Sky, Xavier Worthy. I think Travis Kelce, honestly, I went back and watched a little bit more of the AFC title game. Kelce wasn't running complicated routes. He was just running, like, generic tight end seams, generic curls. Like, there was nothing special about Travis Kelce. I almost think Kelce was getting held back last week. I think Chiefs go in the bag. I think you're going to see the most explosive Chiefs offense we've seen all year in this game, because I think they've been able to hold back. All right, we'll talk more about it as we move on. Rob Lonzo and you talk in Super Bowl licks. On the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a question. Am I a Karen? Let me set you up for the scenario. Yesterday, myself, the wife, and the mother-in-law were having lunch together at our house. The wife and the mother-in-law, they are big fans of one particular establishment. I shan't name them. they said, let's order dinner from this establishment. Rob, go pick it up, bring it back. We'll all have dinner together here at the house so we can talk. Said, great, no problem. Let's do it. I went to the restaurant. I picked up the order. Kane just said, yes, yes, you are. Yeah, tell my story first, Kane. God. And yes, I know the Saints suck. You don't
need
to say
it. I didn't even jump in and do that.
Yeah, come on, man. So I went to pick up the order from this establishment. Now, we ordered three dinners, full dinners, and two extra dinners so that the lady friend and I could have lunch today. But that's a routine we've gotten into. We'll order ourselves dinner, and then if we really like where we're eating from, we'll grab something else to warm up the next day for lunch. So five dinners altogether. I went, I picked it up, I opened it up, I looked in. They said, please check, make sure everything is there. I acknowledge that I looked through the bag. I was in a hurry to get it back to the house before it got cold. I looked in there, looked good, all right? Signed the little paperwork, left, went back to the crib. Got there, opened it up. One of the things that the lady had ordered was a combo meal, right? Like half of two other dinners wedged together into one dinner. Well, one of those two things wasn't in her little to-go box thing. Okay, wasn't in there. Thing was, it wasn't a cheap combo meal. So I got back in the car, drove back to the restaurant, brought in the receipt. I was like, hey guys, I know I signed, said everything's in here. I did not know that she got a combo. I thought she just got this thing. I don't want to say where it was because it'll give you a hint to what kind of what the restaurant was, and I don't want to do that. But I said half of her meal wasn't there. And the young lady working the register was like, you signed and said it was. And I was like, I understand that, but I was in a hurry. I didn't know what she ordered because she put in the order, just told me to pick it up. It wasn't in there. Could I get it, right? Like, could I get this? And she's like, I'll have to speak to a manager. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Manager comes out. He's like, you didn't sign it. I'm like, yeah, nope, I got that. But I was in a hurry. That's on me. I got a picture of the meal, like unopened, sealed still. You can see the steel. It wasn't in there. So eventually, after a couple of minutes worth of discussion, the guy gives me the other half of the combo. He's like, whatever, dude. Just like, we're busy. Get out of here. Fine. Good enough for me. I'm out. Went back home. Gave her the other half of the combo. Pulled out my dinner from the bag. My main course was there. I had two sides. Neither of my sides are in the back. And I'm like, I'm not going back, right? I'll just eat my one thing. I'm not going back. I'm not doing this again. Even though I paid for the sides, whatever. I don't care. So I kind of put it to the back of the brain. During the break, I was checking my personal email inbox. And in my personal email inbox, I got an email from the corporate of this chain restaurant that we ordered from. And it said, how did we do? Give it to us straight. How was your experience with our fine dining establishment? Now, Zoe, I'm not a fill out the survey guy. Even when I go to a place that's like, hey, if you fill out this survey, we'll give you like a $10 gift card. I just don't do it. All right. I got enough paperwork I got to do in my life. I'm not trying to add to it for $10 worth of, you know, a restaurant that I'm not even really that big of a fan of anyway. I filled the survey out and I was like, look, I'm not happy, man. Like, first, you didn't give me half of a combo meal. I had to drive up there. I had to beg to get it to make my wife happy. Then when I got back to the house, I was missing not one, but both sides of my meal that it was very established came with two sides. And I wasn't coming back up there. I'm not super thrilled about it. And the thing is, as soon as I hit send, I recognized that, like, probably some worker at this restaurant, and they were getting slammed. All right. It was Sunday, late lunchtime. They were getting slammed. Probably some poor worker at this establishment's going to get chewed out today because they forgot three things in an order. And they got an unhappy client who has ordered from this place many, many times. Was filling out that survey and going, yeah, I'm kind of bummed out. And even dropping the my wife and I order takeout from you guys like once a week. And I got to tell you, because this isn't the first issue that we've had, this is probably the last time we're doing that. Is that a Karen move? Is that over the top Karening?
No. I mean, you didn't cause a scene that caused the police to be called or someone put out a video that went viral. I mean, you didn't get your food.
Yeah, I was like, the first time up there, I was very, like, very kind, because I'm a kill 'em with kindness guy, all right? Always have been. First time, I'm like, I understand, guys. Like, I you're absolutely right. I filled out this receipt, but, you know, I didn't know what my wife ordered at the time. And when I looked in there, like, I saw one half of her combo, and I didn't, like, I just assumed that they were both in there. I can't imagine you would have given us half of a combo that is half of a serving of this thing. I can't imagine that would have been the case. Like, I just like the other half of the thing that I paid for and paid good money for it. Like, what are we doing here? And I was very nice to the guy, but then I got home and found out that it wasn't just that, it was an entirely different thing. I feel guilty because, like I said, I know there's going to be some minimum wage cat there that's going to get ramrodded today because I just knocked their survey rating down by complaining about this and saying, hey, look, my wife and I have ordered from you guys once a week, pretty much every week since I moved in, and now I'm absolutely not, like, I'm not coming back, or at least not for a while before I give you guys a second chance. There's another establishment like a mile further down the road that serves the exact same food. What are we doing here? And I feel bad that somebody that probably had very little or nothing to do about it is going to get absolutely railroaded today. But at the same time, dog, that was like a solid $17 worth of food I paid for.
I don't believe they really say anything to their employees. I think that's just like, I think that's a courtesy thing that people send out, and they want praise rather than negative things. I bet they just ignore the negative stuff.
See, I worked in
if it's, let's say it's a rarity. Let's say it's just or maybe they just don't like you. It could be a thing. It's possible.
I mean, nobody dislikes me. Nobody dislikes me. Can't imagine. I'm the nicest person anybody comes across on a regular basis. I don't know, man. Like, I felt like, as soon as I pushed send, I'm like, Rob, you're being a Karen right now. But on the flip side, I'm like, they didn't screw me. I mean, try to screw me out of like $20 worth of food. And that's, in this economy? Come on now. Right? Like, I don't know if that's a full Karen or not. Texter said, you're good, Rob. You didn't provide that feedback unsolicited. You were asked how the restaurant did. I mean, that's also fair. You did ask me. You sent me an email to my inbox saying, will you give us a grade? And I was I did. Like I said, I don't normally do that. Ordinarily, I don't do that. Ordinarily, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do, like, whatever. It was fine, right? It's fine. I will do one of two things. If the service is exceptional, and this I do frequently, if the service is exceptional, like if I really like my waiter, my bartender, whatever, I will 100% pass on that note to a manager. Hey, you know, Amy was wonderful as a bartender. I appreciate her. Bobby was a phenomenal waiter. He took great care of us. Just wanted you to know. We'll do that. If I don't like my experience at a restaurant, ordinarily it's like, all right, I'm good. I'm out. I don't say anything. And then I just either don't go back to that place or like I give them a couple of months to get the kinks worked out. The first time I think in a very long time that I've actively complained about something and I felt guilty as hell about it. I'm like, oh, some poor guy that had nothing to do with this is probably going to get chewed out today. I worked in service industry for a while. We absolutely did get, when I worked at a chain restaurant, we absolutely did get the results of surveys back and critiqued very harshly because of them when it was appropriate. Like, I know I just got some dude in trouble, but at the same time, it's like, you kind of messed up a lot, right? You kind of messed up a lot. Forget the sides. Like, okay, I didn't get some French fries and a house salad that I asked for, whatever. But like, I ordered a two-meal combo and you forgot half of that? That ain't it. That's not going to do it. All right, that's a dumb thing, and I need you to know. Since the moment I hit send, I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the right or wrong here. I got to ask.
Meanwhile, those people are in the back during break eating your food.
Yeah, probably. Probably. They're like, don't put this in the bag. Maybe he won't notice. Bang, free fries and a salad for us to split. All right. We got a lot more we got to get to on the show. I know that was dumb and probably a terrible place in the show to put that, but it was eating at me. It was genuinely eating at my conscience.
All right, here's the thing that I'm most shocked about is that you actually filled out a survey. I've never filled out a survey, especially after I've been tempted after bad service. And it's like, you don't want me to do that. So I just threw it away. I've never done that before.
Yeah, I think
you're the only
either.
Person that I've ever met that's done that.
For the record, I normally don't. Like, and like I said, if I have a wonderful experience, I may call over a manager and be like, hey, I just want you to know our waiter did an awesome job. Our bartender did an awesome job. If I have it just a regular, normal experience, I don't say anything. I have people come to the table and go, hey, by the way, if you go to the link on the back of your receipt and fill out the survey, you get a $20 gift card. And I'm usually like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then I'm absolutely not doing that. If it's just fine. It's the first time I've ever done it. But again, I made an order online.
I'm especially not doing it if you're a person, oh, do you need change? I do now.
Okay, in fairness, that's a, I mean.
No, that's not a good move. It's not.
Well, if it's $18 and you hand me a 20, right? That, you know what that is? That's more along the lines of like, this is.
No, don't assume anything.
This is it?
Don't assume anything. It? Don't, do you need change? Yes, I do.
I didn't,
but I do now.
I mean, in fairness, are you a good tipper?
Yeah, that costs them a couple dollars.
Okay. Because I the plague of bad tippers, I mean, in America even, is
even
real
if you,
high.
Even if you say that, if you say, do you need change? If I didn't, I will take at least a dollar off of what I was going to leave.
The plague of bad tippers is real. All right. When we come back in the next hour of the show, a little bit more breakdown of the super big game TM. We got that coming up for you in the next hour of the show. We're going to get back into the NBA trade moves that are taking place. Charles Barkley has something to say about it. I got to play you the audio of the Dallas play-by-play guy the next day after the trade. He sounds broken. We got your audio blitz in the next segment. We got a lot of sound for the weekend that we are going to run through. Your text and calls are welcome at 844-326-3663. Now, you are welcome because you get to experience Alonzo Sports Flash.
Yeah. As we approach the NBA trade deadline, players are moving after the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers. Another all-star moved last night. Sacramento sent De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs and acquired Chicago guard Zach LaVine in a three-team deal. The Kings also received Sidy Sissoko. Three first rounds, it was like Susudio, but first round picks and 3 second round picks. The Bulls get a first round pick as well as Zach Collins and Trey Jones from Spurs and Kevin Huerter from Sacramento. One of the few remaining big name free agent pitchers in Major League Baseball will be staying with his current team. Right-hander Jack Flaherty has signed a 2-year, $35 million deal with the Detroit Tigers. And make sure you tune in Wednesday night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. It's Furman versus Western Carolina right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It's right here. It's the Fan. Upstate.